Do you know the difference between a police car and an ordinary car? Well, at least one difference is police cars have interceptor engines, souped-up engines. When you push the pedal to the floor, they accelerate immediately and really have power and really have speed. What's that got to do with the Christian life? Stay tuned, and we'll explore that.
Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57. This is Winners for Christ with your host and teacher, Father Harold Cohen. And now, here's Father Cohen.
Welcome to Winners for Christ. We're exploring in this series principles for victorious living because Jesus has given us the victory. And what we want to do now is tell a story about some friends of mine who had a car with an interceptor engine and apply that to our Christian life, to victorious living. I have some good friends, A.P. Gizrick and his wife, Pat, who live in Picayune, Mississippi. They'd bought a new car, and some years after having the car, they had it in for a tune-up or repairs. And they discovered something that they did not know. The mechanic told them, you know, this car has a police interceptor engine in it. That means you can get much more power out of this engine than out of an ordinary engine. Well, I thought that was nice, but didn't do anything about it. Well, one night, Pat was driving back down a lonely country road to her house. It might have been at dusk. And a man in a pickup truck was behind her and came and started driving just parallel to her, then pull up and drop back and back. He was really flirting with her. And Pat was on this lonely road, and she was really frightened. And then she thought, I've got a police interceptor engine. So as this man was pulling to her side or falling back, whatever, she just put her foot to the floor, and she took off and just left that man way back in the dusk. What's that got to do with our Christian life? Let me read this passage from Acts 1, verse 8, and then apply it. Jesus is speaking. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The Holy Spirit is the power of the Christian life. All of us, through the gift of the Holy Spirit that we have through the sacraments of initiation, baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist, have the power of the Spirit. But like AP and Pat, who never used the power that they had with their police interceptor engine, I think we seldom use all the power of the Spirit that has been given to us. And this brings us to the principle that we explored already, and I want to keep exploring. Winners for Christ are filled with the Holy Spirit. And this to me is very, very important. I believe that the gift that God is giving in our age is a new fullness of the Holy Spirit to equip us to lead lives of power in our own personal lives and in our lives of witness for Jesus. Vatican II, which was a great work of the Holy Spirit, says this. In my last program, quoted from Vatican II's document on the Church, this is its document on the laity. For the exercise of this apostolate, of the laity, the Holy Spirit, who sanctifies the people of God through the ministry and sacraments, gives to the faithful special gifts as well, allotting to everyone as he will. Thus, may the individual, according to the gift that each has received, administer it to one another and become good stewards of the manifold grace of God and build up thereby the whole body in charity. From the reception of these charisms or gifts, including those which are less dramatic, there arise for each believer the right and duty to use them in the church and in the world for the good of mankind and for the upbuilding of the church. That's wonderful. Vatican II and its theology preparing us for the new outpouring of the Spirit that we are receiving that Pope John the 23rd had us pray for. Remember, he said, pray this, Holy Spirit, renew in this our day your wonders as by a new Pentecost. That was a prophetic prayer of John the 23rd, asking the Spirit to give us the gifts and the power that we need and as we go into this really difficult time that we are in and, from all appearances, moving further into. This document of Vatican II affirms the fact that the Spirit gives us gifts to build up the church and to sanctify the world. And this is just confirming what's already in Scripture. I'd like to read what one of the saints of the early church, Saint Hilary of Poitiers, says about the coming of the Holy Spirit through the sacraments of initiation. I'm reading from a booklet, Open the Windows, The Popes and the Charismatic Renewal by Father Killian McDonnell, a Benedictine who has been studying the work of the Spirit in Christian churches and in the Catholic Church for years now. And Hilary of Poitiers lived in the, or flourished, we might say, in the middle of the 4th century, around 350. And in speaking or writing on one of the Psalms about living water, St. Hilary identified the Holy Spirit with the river of God which flows out from within one who believes. And then he speaks about the sacraments of initiation. We who have been reborn through the sacrament of baptism experience intense joy. What he's saying is that the Christians in his day when they were baptized had an experience of the Spirit. They experienced joy. When we feel the first stirrings of the Holy Spirit, we begin to have insight into the mysteries of faith. Insight. We are able to prophesy and to speak with wisdom. We become steadfast in hope and receive the gift of healing. Demons are made subject to our authority. These gifts enter like gentle rain, and once having done so, little by little, bring forth fruit in abundance. This is a testimony, and there are many testimonies gathered by Father Killian McDonnell in another book that he and Father Montague have written called Fanning the Flame. They show how the fathers of the church equated the sacraments of initiation with what we call today the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to go into a full explanation right now of the baptism of the Spirit, but what I do want to do is show that in the experience of the church, not only the very primitive apostolic church, but in the church coming to us through the fathers of the church, the Holy Spirit was experienced as giving new joy and new power to those who received Him. And I really believe that God in our day prepared us by Vatican II and by the documents of Vatican II, one of which I just read from, prepared us to open our hearts to have this power of the Holy Spirit, this new police interceptor engine, to face the difficulties of our day. Now, St. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, tells us about the gifts of the Spirit. In my last broadcast, I was talking about what happens to us when we receive the Holy Spirit. And this is part of the answer to that. We receive power. We receive the gifts of the Spirit. Listen to St. Paul speaking about the gifts of the Spirit which people received. This is in 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. To another, the utterance of knowledge. To be able to speak wisdom. Jesus, when confronted by his enemies and asked him if it's okay to pay tribute to Caesar, spoke a word of wisdom. Show me the coin. And he saw it, and it had Caesar's image on it. He said, give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God. By his gift of wisdom, he saved a situation for the glory of his Father. The Spirit wants to give us that wisdom. To others, the utterance of knowledge. Sometimes God gives us knowledge, insight. I know a lady to whom God has given the gift of seeing the hurts and wounds that priests have. And she'll share those with them and pray with them to help them be healed, to enter more fully into their priestly ministry. To another, gifts of healing. To another, faith by the same Spirit. to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits. You know, when the gospel is preached and these gifts go along with it, we are bearing witness to Jesus in an extraordinary way. Jesus, at the end of Mark's gospel, said that these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. And then it speaks about what the apostles did. And they went forth and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by the signs that attended it. God wants to confirm our witness, and He's equipping us with the Spirit. I read in a newsletter recently that those who are making real success in bringing Muslims to the knowledge and love of Jesus Christ are those who are operating in the power of the Spirit, accompanied by His charismatic gifts. When people who haven't had the joy of meeting Jesus Christ see miracles and see healings and see people telling them what they've done, they open up to the power of God at work. Jesus did not leave His church without equipment, without power. And I believe in this our day, when there's such a need to witness to Christ, even within the church, the Spirit wants and is giving us more power to do that. Continuing in St. Paul, I want to comment on the gift that St. Paul said about distinguishing spirits. I believe one of the gifts we so badly need in the church today is the gift of discernment. It could take, and I think Father Mitch Pacwa has taken a whole series, or more than a series, to talk about New Age. There's a lot of things creeping into the church today that we need discernment about, to discern what is from the Holy Spirit, what's just from human sources, and what's from the evil spirit. We must be very careful of New Age, the New Age infiltration into the church today. That's just one example, but we really need the gift of discernment of spirits. Then Paul gives another list in that same chapter of gifts of the Spirit. This is in chapter 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 27. You are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, these are gifts, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, then healers, helpers, administrators. Interesting. Administration is a gift of the Spirit. Helping is a gift of the Spirit. There is a multitudinous number of gifts of the Spirit. Speakers in various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. And then he goes on to speak about the importance of love in everything. But it's important to see these gifts of the Spirit that God gives us. We want to speak about the wonderful fruit of the Holy Spirit. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, compares the works of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit. And I'd like to read now from Galatians 5, starting at verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law, and we want to be led by the Spirit. And now Paul is going to first of all give a list of the works of the flesh, and it's good to listen to these. Now the works of the flesh are plain: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, party spirit. I'm for this party, I'm for that party. These kinds of factions. Envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. There are those who would justify these kinds of things, and Paul calls a spade a spade. These are the works of the flesh. I warn you as I warned you before, those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Then he tells us about the fruit of the Spirit, and these have been called the character traits of Jesus. The Spirit forms us into Jesus. Listen to these. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness.